Hallelujah. Amen. So, as you know, we've been in a series, but I decided this morning, just yesterday, I felt to kind of bring this word rather than continue with that series this morning. Hallelujah. It's a word that's been in my heart for a while, and I just felt released to bring it. I know that sounds really spiritual, but hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Anyone who spends time in a work environment or among unsafe people, or even if you just watch TV or movies, you'll have been exposed to what many would say is the ultimate F word. You know, I'm not trying to conjure it in your mind right now. But to be honest, all of that effing and blinding is like water off a duck's back to me. But even so, you know, some people will apologize for using that kind of language if they know that you're a Christian. But, you know, really, that language can't negatively affect us in any way. Mm-hmm. And, of course, also I'd love to say this. These words, or such words, should never be a part of our vocabulary. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 4, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints." Neither, you're saying to God this morning, yeah. You glad for that?
Yeah.
Amen. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians chapter 4 verses 5 to 7 says this: "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." But anyway, in fact, the title of this message this morning is the ultimate F word. The ultimate F word. So also that we look on Google to see what might be viewed as the ultimate F word, and it appears that 40 and 50 are considered by some to be ultimate F words. If you were on the Google Images with that question, what is the ultimate F word, you'll find all this merchandising for people's 40th and 50th birthdays. So I don't know why 40 or 50 should be the ultimate F words, because after all, they're only just that's just a number. Amen. But we have an enemy of our souls. Who knows we have an enemy of our souls? And I want you to hear that very clearly. We have an enemy of our souls. And he has a few choice F words of his own that he likes to target us with. And he probably likes to think of them in terms of the ultimate in put downs as he tries to belittle us, humiliate us, shame, crush, squash, intimidate, and deflate us. Ever experienced any of that mess? But what he seems to be slow to learn is that we actually have the ultimate, the truly ultimate F-word in our armory. When we choose to deploy what is the ultimate F-word, we are invincible. But we'll get that in a minute, okay? Or a few minutes. So remember, the devil is referred to as the enemy of our soul. So he tries to draw us down into the battleground of the soul, where he knows that he has a much better chance of inflicting damage that would leave us feeling defeated by discouragement and all of these other negative emotions. But who knows, the enemy also fights dirty. So first of all, I want to expose three of the F-words that you may have heard leveled against your soul. I'm just assuming, because I've heard them, that you may have heard them too, since we're all in the same battle. Amen. So three of the F-words that you may have heard leveled against your soul as you walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, as you commit your life to unashamedly proclaiming the full gospel of the Father's unconditional love that has provided, and I want us to be reminded of this morning, that has provided salvation for all, healing for all, and deliverance for all. Amen. And including everything that is a blessing that dismantles the curse in our lives. Amen. Every manifestation of the curse that the enemy would try to roll into our lives has been forever dismantled by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By Jesus, who became a curse for us, that so the blessing of God might come in all of its fullness upon us, the same blessing that Abraham enjoyed, and more. Amen. So the first F word I'd like to expose this morning, that the enemy might have leveled against you, and I've certainly heard it against me, is fraud. He wants to label you as a fraud. Who knows that Jesus trusted completely in his Father's ability to protect and to provide for him in every situation? And he also trusted completely in the Father's ability to do the same for others. And yet he was labeled a fraud. Matthew chapter 10, I'm just taking a few verses out of Matthew 10 here, verse 1, verse 5, verse 78, and then verses 24 to 25, and kind of brought them all together. And so listen to this. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Then fast forward to verse 24, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, Beelzebub was a Philistine deity, by implication a devil, how much more will they call those of his household? So let me just remind you this morning, if you are unashamedly proclaiming the full gospel, if you're praying for the sick, etc., then you will hear this F word, fraud, even sometimes from those who are your brothers and sisters. Because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. Whose brethren? Well, Jesus' brethren. The family of God, of all who call him Father, those who are of his household. But who knows, there's nothing the enemy likes better than to turn brother against brother. It's a strategy that has worked for him over and over and over again, right from the second generation of mankind. He discovered it to be an effective strategy when Cain was jealous because his brother had a greater revelation of what God required than he did. If he had been listening as carefully to his parents and what they passed on, then he would have had the same revelation. But he hadn't been listening so closely. And so he discovers that his brother Cain has a greater revelation. Now God spoke very clearly to Abel, had a greater revelation. He turns to Cain and he says, look, Cain, come on. Sin is knocking at your door. Its desire is to overpower you, to have you, to pull you under, but you can defeat this. And of course he went with the offense. And he killed his brother. Well, let me just throw this in here right now because it's very contemporary and very relevant. Early on, I said I'd like to honour Reinhard Bonnke, the incredible evangelist who, in fact, I think he was 70. I just found that as I went back to worship after that. I thought, you know, he was 79 years old and they reckon 79 million souls are in the kingdom today because of his obedience. So that's a million souls for every year. I'd say that's pretty good going. Some of us might have a little bit of catching up to do. But you know, with all, and it didn't start out that way. If you know a little bit of his story, you know that he had to break through a lot of what could have been discouraging times in his, at the beginning of his ministry. But he obeyed God and he listened to God and he did. And he took impossible steps of faith. Hallelujah. And God rewarded that. But you know, if you go on the internet, if you go on YouTube, you'll find brothers, Christian brothers, labeling him a fraud. Now that's remarkable. But that's the truth. That's the reality. That's what's out there. And so it's good, I believe, to be able to, and if you're coming to a place of maturity, who knows, God wants all of us to come to a place of maturity. Yeah. Amen. To get free from our playground stuff. From our na 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 stuff. You know, the only person who dares a na 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 from you is the devil, amen. No, that's somebody who's involved in the work of the kingdom, whatever place they're at, whatever stage they're at, whatever level they're at. And so it's good to be able to receive aspects of truth from all of our brethren, from different camps. But as I was thinking about this yesterday, it's always right to judge what you hear against the character of our Father in heaven.
That's right.
As revealed in his word.
Yes.
Amen. For example, if someone says that God doesn't want to save everyone or to heal everyone, what does that say about the character of the Father? I think I'm safe to reject that in the light of the revelation of God's character, of our Father in heaven's character. Amen? Now, it doesn't make your brother a fraud. So we don't stick the finger out and go, fraud! We don't start calling names. It just highlights a lack of revelation regarding the Father's character.
Yeah.
And just like with Cain, the heart of the Father is to reveal himself in all of his mercy if he is willing to receive it. If they're not willing, here, listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 to 22. He says, "Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Remember, death doesn't always mean physical death. Sometimes, you see, you'll discover if you reach out beyond the confines of what is deemed acceptable by the religious status quo, and if you begin to unashamedly proclaim the good news of the kingdom, and if you let your light shine where the lost people are, you might actually find yourself attracting the fraud F word. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 18 to 19, "For John didn't spend his time," Jesus speaking, "for John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners." In the Amplified, it actually says he's specially wicked sinners. He's a friend of especially wicked sinners. You know, the worst kind of sinner. "But wisdom," he says, "is shown to be right by its result." Amen? So let me just encourage you this morning. I'm just going through this as quick as we can. I want you to leave here encouraged today. Because have you ever heard that word leveled against you as you brought the, you know, or other people who you know bring the same message being labeled as a fraud? Well, when the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your soul, when he calls you a fraud, it is because you have come to his attention as someone who is the real deal. As someone who is beginning to talk and act like Jesus. And there is nothing, and I want you to hear this very clear as well, there is nothing that he fears more than that. When he turns the F word fraud against you, it's because he recognizes, he's coming against your soul, and because he recognizes that you are the real deal. That you are someone who is beginning to talk and act like Jesus. And as I said, there is nothing that he fears more than that. Who knows that Scripture is clear that the devils believe and tremble. When they see a believer beginning to act and speak like Jesus, they tremble. The kingdom of darkness begins to get troubled. Begins to shake. When you put your foot out of the bed in the morning and before you get out of bed, the kingdom of darkness is shaking. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and I know I've said this many, many times, but I believe that is everything in God's word is brought to us in a particular way for a specific reason. It doesn't say that God anointed his son from all eternity. His only begotten Son, his Son who'd been with him from all eternity with the Holy Spirit of power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's very specific there in telling us that God anointed his humanity, him and his humanity, with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good. I believe he went about displaying and demonstrating the Father's character. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father." Because I don't speak my own words, I speak what I hear the Father speak. I don't do my own works, I do the works of the Father. I do the works I see the Father do. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. When the devil begins to label you as a fraud, it's because he sees you as what you truly are, which is the real deal. You had enough of that one, why move on to the second one? The second F word that I believe you will find leveled against you if you're committed to unashamedly proclaiming the full gospel of salvation and healing and deliverance, not just for some, but for all. The second word that he will level against you, the second F word that he will bring against you, is failure. Failure. And who knows, that can be the most soul-crushing of all the F words used against us by the enemy. You know, Jesus had a growing and successful ministry. Often large crowds would gather around him. Then one day, after he had just performed a supernatural feeding miracle, when several thousand people received food supernaturally, he begins to bring a message that for most of them was a bit hard to swallow. And all of a sudden the crowds begin to go, hang on a minute, oh, I don't know what this is all about. And the crowd begins to disappear. And these crowds of people who had tasted and seen that the Lord is good, all of a sudden they all deserted him. They all just walked away. And Jesus turns to the 12 and he says to them, so, okay guys, the door's open. Do you want to leave as well? Are you going to? That's security. That's someone who is totally and utterly secure in their identity and in their purpose. He's not hanging on to them. He's not shutting the door. He's going, please, guys, don't. Please, don't you leave me too. Well, I did if you guys go. And Peter responds by saying, where else can we go? You have the words. He didn't say you have the ability to feed us every time we have no food in the middle of a desert place. No, he says you have the words of eternal life. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Peter, with all of his failings and all of his shortcomings and all of the things of his personality that people like to pinpoint and laugh about, he was the guy who got the revelation. He's the guy who came up with the revelation a lot of the time. Come on. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. Just like Jesus said to him when he announced that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, you didn't receive that from flesh and blood. You received that as a revelation from our Father in heaven. This is exactly the same. You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Not only do you have the ability to supply our daily needs, our temporal needs, but you have the words, not just for time, but for eternity. See, Peter recognized that Jesus' words were spirit words. Say spirit words. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus recognized what Jesus had been, Peter recognized that what Jesus had been saying, that all of the other folks found hard to swallow and walked away on, he writes, because they were receiving them in their soul, and their soul did not have the resources to bring forth that revelation of what these words were actually saying. So even regardless of how unpalatable Jesus' words might appear sometimes to the soul, Peter recognized, sorry, that they were spirit words. They were spirit words. And I'm sure as Jesus witnessed all of those crowds disappearing down the road, these thousands of people just taking off, hightailing it out of there, I'm sure the failure F word was in the air that day. I can imagine. What about in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, where it says he couldn't? Hey, come on, this is Jesus we're talking about. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil. He comes back to his hometown of Nazareth, and it says he couldn't. Not that he wouldn't. See, wouldn't wasn't in his character. But it says that he couldn't do much in that place because of the people's unbelief. Because of their familiarity. They saw Jesus of Nazareth. And they couldn't see beyond Jesus of Nazareth to the God who anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power to enable him to go about doing good and bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil. Anyone ever noticed you live in Jesus' hometown? I'm sure there's quite a few of them, but this is one of them. Where people are so familiar with Jesus, the Jesus they went to school with, the Jesus they went to Sunday school with, the Jesus who didn't heal the sick, the Jesus who didn't cast out demons, the Jesus who saw his father die and didn't, his earthly father, his adopted father, die and not do it, and did nothing about it, who saw all of these things. He shows up back in town and he's saying, boom, boom, bring out your sick. They didn't notice that he'd also lived a sinless life among them. That tells me that living a sinless life doesn't have that much impact or effect upon people. Not that many people know us. They might say, you're a nice guy, but that's as far as it goes. So people who think the Christian life consists of trying to live as sinlessly as possible might get the label in some places of being a nice guy, but it doesn't really have a great impact or effect upon people. So if you're just trying to live sinlessly in your work environment and letting your little light shine in your little corner, then a few people might say that you're okay. Other people will think you're off your head because you're not doing the things that everybody else is doing. Think you're missing out on everything that life has to offer. So we need to understand there's a lot more to being a disciple of Jesus than just living a sinless life, which is awesome. You're going to live life, live it as sinlessly as you possibly can, but there's more to it than that. But in Jesus' hometown, like Stornoway or Lewis, or come on, this is like, if you know it, you know what I'm talking about, if you've been out there unashamedly proclaiming the full gospel of salvation and healing and deliverance. You know what that turns in your direction? The F word. There we are. If you imagine on that day there in Nazareth, you can just imagine the failure F word being chucked around that day, can't you? Basically, the people that had been following, the ones that had been down to all of the other cities and seen all these people getting healed and delivered and set free, and all of a sudden they come to Nazareth and it's, here's one you can't. Do anything with. There we are. Now, who originates that word? People don't understand sometimes that God cannot do anything in this world until he finds a man or woman who's willing to submit to his will and bring his will from heaven into the earth. John Wesley put it this way. He said, God does nothing in the earth but a man or woman prays first. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I am willing, because the Father is willing. To bring heaven into the earth. We need to understand the devil. If God can't do anything unless he finds a man or woman, the devil can't either. So sometimes you'll hear the most discouraging words from people. Sometimes people who are closest to you, people who you think are your friends even, and they'll deliver the F words. Paul said there are those who are led captive by the devil to do his will. He needs someone to do his will, just like God needs someone to do his will. You can imagine how the air was thick with the failure word that day. The F word. One of the devil's F words. Failure. But then fast forward a little bit further and you're at the cross. And at the cross, what appeared to be happening was the greatest failure of all history in the battle between light and darkness. It seemed as though Jesus' mission had ultimately failed. It was looking good for a while. It was looking fantastic for a season, but it looked on that day, as it says that darkness, what created all that darkness? Every demon gathered around that place to celebrate their victory. And the darkness, the spiritual darkness was so intense that the physical darkness manifested. If you know anything about this life, then you experienced that darkness. When I first came back to the Lord from being backslidden, I woke up one morning, just a few days after that, and I woke up and the bedroom, it was in my mother's house, just down the road there in Munter Park, and I woke up and the darkness, it was dark already, but the streetlights, they say, but the darkness wasn't physical darkness, it was spiritual darkness. And I heard a voice. And that voice spoke and it said, I've had you for a long time. I'm not letting you go. And the fear, I'm talking about your hairs and your arms standing up, man. Poor. I think they grew about 2 inches as well. They're coming out. And that fear, the air was thick with fear. And I didn't know much, but I knew one thing. I knew Psalm 23 off the heart. And I didn't get much past the first thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I began to, I don't know if I was speaking out or was it just out of my spirit was coming. But I tell you what, the darkness. Never heard another word and the darkness disappeared. Because the entrance of God's word brings light in the midst of the darkest darkness that the enemy can produce. Come on, son, boy. Oh, come on. As it seemed as though Jesus' mission had ultimately failed. You can imagine the F word being leveled at him. The people standing around the cross mocking. There we are. The soldiers. Everybody. Those who had shouted from the crowd, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Failure. 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 See, we are here now a couple of thousand years beyond that. It's all right for us to look back retrospectively. We can bear to think about that right now. Because we know how the Father's master plan turned out. We know that if the demons had known what he'd known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Come on, somebody. They'd never have put him on that cross. They were just signing their own defeat for all eternity. Hallelujah. They just lost the last battle. Yeah. The war was over that day. Come on, somebody. But it didn't look that way. If you had a human perspective, if you were looking at it from an earthly perspective, it didn't look that way that day. His mother must have been crushed because she had hidden so many things in her heart. But that day, didn't look so good that day. Jesus had tried to deposit words in their spirit about this is what's going to happen, but don't worry, it's not the end. He tried to bring them and prepare them, but still, all the resource they had at that point was their soul. And their soul couldn't deal with that. Their soul couldn't process all of these words, these spirit words, that day because all they could see was what they could see. Failure. It was looking good. We really were trucking. We seemed to have the devil on the run. But look at this. Failure. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-3 says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Because the enemy of your souls is going to be working overtime to bring that discouragement in your souls. What about Paul? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Come on. There's not a church anywhere probably that preaches the gospel anywhere in the world that won't mention Paul this morning. They might mention him more than they mention Jesus. And somehow he's been kind of deified almost. The great Apostle Paul. So he was, anyway, let's get this. This you know, but not many people talk about this. This you know, that all of those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Hermogenes, from that. Sounds like something you do with milk. Beyond pasteurized. Give me a taste of real milk. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 18. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, me too. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him. Listen to this, for he has greatly resisted our words. Let me bring something in here from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have, having rejected, concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. They'd rather go with the devil's will than God's will, then let them go. We'll find out it ain't going to work very well for them. Let's just trust God that they'll get smart and come back. Back into God's plan. Back into God's will. Stop resisting the word of God and start accepting that that's what our only source of life. No matter, come on somebody, no matter how you might have to struggle against it sometimes. No matter how much your flesh might scream out and say, no! But go back anywhere we were, verse 16. In my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Listen to this. So that the message might be preached fully through me. Sometimes when you decide you're going to unashamedly proclaim the good news of the kingdom, that there is salvation for all and healing for all and deliverance for all and every manifestation of the curse has been busted and broken and blessing has been released, you will discover that not everybody is happy about that. Because the devil's not happy about it. And if he can stir people up, then he'll stir them up. And you'll begin to hear the F word. And you'll begin to see the people that you thought were walking in it and receiving it begin to disappear. Bum, 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 bum. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I'm glad you're with God this morning.
Yeah.
That the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Who are the Gentiles? Who are those who don't know yet that there's a God in heaven who loves them? There's those who are without God and without hope in this world. Those who know nothing about the covenants of God. So if some people want to take off, then that's okay. Let them go. Let them walk straight back into the devil's camp and discover that he is not the kind of guy you want to be working for. He is the meanest, most wicked, most evil, most deceiving, most lying, turncoat of anything you ever could have possibly imagined, that will crush you into the dust if you continue to work for him. Because he has no mercy. He doesn't even know how to spell it. He doesn't understand it. He has no love, no compassion, no tenderness, no empathy, no sympathy, not even human emotions. He's just wicked, wicked, wicked. And if you choose to turn away from God's word and go back to serve him, well, I hope one day before it's too late, you'll discover you're working for the wrong guy. Ah, but he'll take you up and he'll show you things. Just like he did with Jesus. You think he's going to do you anyway differently than Jesus? Like I say, look, you just come watch for me. You can have all this. That appeals to some people, even in ministry, you know. Oh, really? Oh, well. He's more subtle, you see. He doesn't just kind of lay it out there. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me. See, if you decide you can compromise or you can chop bits out, or so you'll be more acceptable to people, and so people will be accepted in certain circles, then, well, go fly. That all the Gentiles might hear, because that's what we're here to reach. Yeah. We're here to reach those who don't know yet. We're going into this week to encounter people that don't know there's a God in heaven who really does love them, who have had God the Father so misrepresented to them that they think that he's against them, that he hates them, that he has no plan for them, that they're not on his little list of those he wants, that he's on the other list that says they're rejects for all eternity without ever having an opportunity to say yes or no. Come on, somebody, shaka boo shaka. I got a little bit stirred about that stuff. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, shaka ba sokomusa. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So you can take your stinking F-word failure and shove it wherever you are and find a spot. Hopefully not a soft spot. Doesn't look like it was all sweetness and light for Paul either, does it really? I'm sure the air was thick with the failure F word during these, and not only these times, but many other times in his ministry. You see, when the enemy of your soul calls you a failure, when he begins to turn the big guns of the failure word against you, it's because you're succeeding in rattling his cage. I said it's because you're succeeding in rattling his cage. So what do you do at that point? You don't quit. You don't give up. You keep on rattling. Because the victory that is already yours is about to manifest. That's why Paul and Silas, when they get thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon of a Philippian jail, they don't say, "Oh no, Paul, did you bring in any elastoplasts? Did you remember the bandages, Silas? Oh God. What are we going to do now? Oh, I don't know, it's probably all over now. Take us home, Lord. Be merciful." No! Paul, you got the handbook? Yes, sir. What's the name? Come in. I remember the first line. Can you help me with this? Army. Come on, somebody. I don't know what they were singing, but they were singing some, probably Psalm 107, hallelujah, so I don't know. Psalm 37, Psalm 23, I don't know, they were just singing anyhow. Some hymn that had come out of the experience of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come, I am a new creation. No more, come on, some old chorus, some old four-liner, come on. Hallelujah, let's just turn the volume up. Gombo, shagalabasaka, they were praying, and they were singing, and they were praising, and all of the prisoners were listening. Because all of a sudden there's hope in the jail. Somebody, all of a sudden, there's hope among the prisoners. Oh, come on. You know how many prisoners are out there that have no hope? They walk with you, they walk around you, they shop with you, they live next door to you. Without God and without hope, and the prisoners, they think there's nothing they can do about it. They think they're locked into that situation for all eternity. Come on, somebody needs to start turning up the volume. All of a sudden, ba-boom, there's an earthquake, and all of the chains fall off. Come on, we were singing it. Come on, that's the Lord knew where we were going this morning. Like he always does. It's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There's an army rising up, and you want to be part of that army. You want to be one of them conscientious objectors. And I'm not hearing about this. I think I might have an objection to some of this. Come on, get in there anyhow. Yeah, shine up your boots, come on. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and get on with it. Come on. Yeah, a few marching songs going or something. Oh. Hallelujah. The Lord was with me and he encouraged me. Hallelujah. Just like David, when it looked like it was all over and his men were saying they were about to, they were threatening to stone him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Come on. He went after God. He said, God, there's a key here. What do you want me to do? Will we go up and pursue this enemy? Seems fruitless and pointless and crazy, but is that what you said? The Lord says, go up and you'll recover everything. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, somebody. When the enemy of your what? Your soul calls you a fear. Come on, David's like, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Maybe that's what they were singing down there, Paul and Silas. Hope in God, for we will yet praise him, who is the help of our countenance, who is the salvation of our face. We'll get that smile back on there as big and wide as it's ever been. God! Hallelujah! The enemy of your soul calls you a failure. It's because you are succeeding in rattling his cage. Well, you might still look like a failure to everybody else. You might look like the biggest failure there's ever been to everybody else, but you're rattling his cage, and that's why he's turning the big guns against you. Come on. And that victory, that sweet, 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 sweet victory, that's already yours. You can already smell it. You start to be able to just begin to just touch your taste buds. I can taste the victory. With every song of praise that goes up, it releases something in your spiritual taste buds where you can get to taste the victory. Hallelujah. About to manifest. Number three. Ready for number three? We're going to move this forward. Number three. Hallelujah. This is various synonyms, you understand. But if you've been unashamedly proclaiming, you've probably heard this fruitcake. F word number three. Fruitcake. Fraud, failure, that don't work, I will just label you a fruitcake. If you insist on unashamedly proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you insist on unashamedly preaching the fullness of the gospel, that there is salvation and forgiveness for even the most wicked of sinners, try that one for size. See what kind of reaction you get to that. Oh, well, bro, you know, sometimes you'll be home, you don't seem bad to anybody, but, oh, you know. You all seem to think there's a second chance for everybody, you know. Oh, well, you know, that guy, well, no, no. There's healing for the most terminally sick.
Yeah.
There's deliverance for the most demonized. And you'll probably have this F word or one of its synonyms applied to you. Should have heard it already. Now, something that I see people's faces when I'm talking kingdom talk, and I can hear what they're thinking. Jesus could do that, and you can let us do it too. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, you can just see it all over their face, you know what I'm saying? But, and if they are thinking it, then they will either say it to me, to my face, or they will say it maybe to someone else. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Verse 20 to 21. And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him, and then he appointed 12 that he might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. In verse 20, then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. Verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Even Jesus' own people, even his own family, thought he was out of his mind, that he had lost it. Acts 26, verses 24 to 25. That's Jesus. Here's Paul again. Now, as Paul made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Bonkers. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. How could the words of truth and reason be labelled as mad? Think about it. Somebody's in there messing somewhere. But, you know, maybe you've got a radio, you've got your radio onto the right wavelength, and somebody just goes like, you know, it's like, Paul is bringing words of truth and reason. I said it somewhere earlier. They said, oh, you're always taking over shooting. They say, I said, well, hang on a minute. I'm not bringing you bad news. He said, well, that's true. I'm not bringing you good news. He said, oh, well, okay then. I'm not mad, most noble faces, but speak the words of truth and reason. You know, he's speaking kingdom truth. He's speaking kingdom reason. Heavenly wisdom is flowing through him. And the enemy's going, fruitcake. See, when the enemy of your souls levels the fruitcake F word against you, it's because he recognizes that you have the mind of Christ. And so you think on a wavelength that is inaccessible to him. And your thoughts become your words, and your words become your actions, and your actions begin to form your habits. Your habits become part of your character, and ultimately your character determines your destiny, which is a son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. No wonder he's getting rattled. No wonder he wants to point a finger at you and call you a madman. Have you locked away, removed from respectable society? I said before, you know, that the enemy directs these F words at us because he's trying to inflict damage on our souls, to encourage us, to intimidate us, even to shut us down. But I want to just get this very quickly and we'll finish this. The reality is, with all of his F words, the three that we've looked at, you know, the fraud, the failure, the fruitcake. In fact, I think it was A.W. Tozer said, a fanatic is just someone who loves Jesus more than you do. I always liked that. Never forgot it. Read that many, many years ago. A fanatic, someone that you might label a fanatic, might just be someone who loves Jesus more than you do. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you have to go to church twice on a Sunday? That's just a bit, oh, come on, that's extreme. No. You got it wrong. I'd be there all day Sunday and all day every other day if that was possible. But it's a little impractical because I wouldn't be able to get done what I'm here to do, which is to reach the lost, whatever they are. And I'm saying, I'm using the royal we here. That's what we're here for. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a whole eternity. I go to that one church twice on a Sunday. All eternity. Ding dong. Maybe you don't want to go after all. Maybe heaven's going to be too much for you. Maybe you should change your ticket. Isn't this a little taste of heaven, Janet? You know heaven's going to be much better than this, but isn't that a little taste? Have you ever got tired of it in 80 plus years? Have you ever got tired of it? Never. You want more of it, don't you? If you think she's lying, look at the smile on her face. Look at the glow. And we've all heard the old saying, haven't we? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And we've all laughed, haven't we, at how ridiculous that is, because we've all been hurt by name calling that's been directed at us. But as I was thinking about this, yes, it just rose up my spirit, that wee song again, you know? Sticks and stones will break my bones. See, maybe the person who first said that would be labelled a fruitcake by most of us in here today. But what if the person who first said that knew something that we didn't know? I'm just about to tell you what it is. Maybe. But I know they don't hurt me anymore. Because I can say that now. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names, you can't hurt me with names. Reinhard Bonnke said this, actually. I'm trying to remember what he said. He said, if you refuse the applause of men, then you'll have no problem handling their criticism. Yeah. Oh, come on. That's heavenly wisdom. Yeah. If you refuse the applause of men like Jesus did, you'll have no problem handling their criticism. Yeah. You see, none of us were ever designed to live out of what I've always referred to as the inadequate resources of our soul, because our soul will always be vulnerable to wounding, to being hurt. That's why God placed a layer of protection around our soul. And two layers of protection around our body. That's why we need to be set apart by God for God, according to First Thessalonians, chapter 5. Spirit, soul, body. We were designed to live out of our spirit. And that's why the ultimate F word is not a soul word, it is a spirit word. Remember, our spiritual warfare, as modeled for us by our Lord Jesus Christ himself, consists of three simple words. It is written. Jesus never deviated from that strategy, not one time. In his spiritual warfare, a very intense spiritual warfare with Satan himself. Most of us don't always attract Satan himself as some other minor cohort, sometimes a more major cohort. When he shows up himself, well, you're really rattling his cage. We were designed to live out of our spirit, and that's why the ultimate F word is not a soul word, it's a spirit word. The ultimate F word is faith. 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 See, faith. Try it for size. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In there, amongst all of the armour of God, above all. See, above all.
Above all.
Above all. That's there for a reason. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of the F words of the wicked one. All of the enemy's F words cannot penetrate the shield of faith. It is written. See, the word of God will never refer to those who unashamedly proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom as a fraud, or as a failure, or as a fruitcake, or any other F word that he might think up or dream up or target you with. Because faith is not a soul word, it is a spirit word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, it is written, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. We don't speak our own words, we speak the word of God. It is written. We speak spirit words. We speak supernatural life. Giving words. And if that attracts the enemy's F words as fiery darts, they are quenched by the shield of faith before they can access and wound our soul. Sticks and stones can break my bones, maybe, but names can never hurt me. And if I'm diligent to live out in my spirit and hear what God is saying, I'll even avoid the sticks and stones. Sometimes. Most of the time. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you have been vulnerable to the F words that have been hurled at you by the enemy of your soul, then all it requires is a very simple, very small adjustment to make all of the difference and to turn things around. You simply need to do this. Are you listening? You simply need to get back behind the shield of faith by living out of your spirit and speaking the word of God, the word of the Father. It is written. Just stick with that. Stick with that. And if these demonically inspired F words couldn't stop Jesus or Paul, then they can't stop us. They can't stop you, and they can't stop me. Because we have the ultimate F word. And the ultimate F word is faith. And the just live by it. Those who know that they have been freely justified. Justified freely by God's grace. Therefore, being justified freely, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. Justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have shalom. Do you know what one of the... I know we define shalom very often as nothing missing, nothing broken. Do you know what even another level of defining that word would be? Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Heaven on earth. Our Father in heaven. Let's stand up together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Transfer that which is in heaven into the earth. Hallelujah. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but the days of names hurting me, they're over. He can point all of his F words that he likes. Hallelujah. Fraud, I've heard it many times. I've heard it even rise out of my own soul against me. You're a fraud. That's what you are. Failure. Oof. You want to know maybe someone who's heard failure more often than most people you know? Well, you might want to argue about it, but my shield was so full of them fiery darts most days, you know, it's just like hallelujah. I said it, I thought I must be the absolute epitome of failure. You want to know what a failure looks like? Well, take a quick photograph. Hallelujah. Your camera probably won't work. If you want to look at things from an earthly perspective. I reckon, have you heard that word rising up against you? Failure. Well, I'll tell you, we discussed that, didn't we? You know why you've been hearing it? Because the enemy sees you as a threat to him. You're rattling his cage. He's labeling you a fraud because he knows you're the real deal. Come on. You're starting to act like Jesus. You're starting to talk like him. Amongst thousands and thousands. I mean, think about this. Reinhard Bonnke, 79 million souls. When the statistics say that the vast majority of Christians have never led one person to Jesus. And somebody, somewhere, dares to submit to the devil's will and point a finger from the Christian camp and point a finger at someone like him who was not perfect and say, I don't even dare say it. Fruitcake, lay it on me. Hallelujah, it's going to bounce off. You need to learn to let it just bounce off. Just live out of that place. Amen. We have the ultimate F word. Our spiritual warfare, very simple, consists of three small, to some people, insignificant words, but to us, they are everything. It is written. It is. You want to fuss and cuss and argue? Sorry, I don't really have the time for that, but I'll show you where it's written. And I'm praying and believing that one day we'll come to the place where you won't agree with me because all of a sudden you thought, oh, he must be right. No. That we'll both come to the place where we'll agree to agree with what God has said. Hallelujah. Because that's unity. That's true unity. I might just have beaten you down in my argument and you're willing to submit to me. No, don't ever submit to me. You're not here to submit to me. I'm not here to submit to you, but we're all here to submit to the one who sits on the throne, the one who has revealed himself to us through his word. He sends his word to say, Psalm 107, he sends his word to save, he sends his word to heal, he sends his word to deliver. Jesus came to us as a 4D demonstration of that. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the word made flesh. Hallelujah. As I said last week, I heard someone say this. This is this is Jesus in print. This is Jesus in print. I will tell you who said that because some people might think he's a fraud or something. You hear someone say, oh, he's a fraud. But I know someone. There's someone who said some things that I can build my life on. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every precious life here today. I thank you, Lord, that you created us. Triune beings, spirit, soul, and body. You did that for a purpose. And I pray, Father, that we would, each and every one of us, if we need to make a tiny adjustment here today and get back out of our soul, if we become weighed down and overburdened and discouraged by the weight that we've received into our soul, I pray that this morning we just cast off that weight, like your word invites us to. Hallelujah. The sin that so easily ensnares us, that sin that's just basically synonymous with unbelief. We just let it fall off. Let the chains, the imaginary chains, be broken. Once and for all and for ever, we'd rise up into the place that you have ordained us to live in and to walk in by faith. Simply taking you at your word. Walking out your purposes for our lives. Thank you that your word is clear. The plans that you have for us are only, always, and ever for good. Never for evil. Always to give us a hope-filled future. Hallelujah. Thank you for that this morning, Father. Thank you that all of the F-words of the enemy are quenched by the ultimate F-word. Lord, as we live behind the shield of faith, the fourth field of faith that you've surrounded us with, because we refuse to be moved from it as written. Help us as we go into this coming week, Father, to be ambassadors for your kingdom. Lord God, to faithfully and unashamedly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has provided salvation for all, healing for all, deliverance for all, that he's broken the power of the curse over every life, that all might come and taste and see that the Lord is good. That his faithfulness, come on, Joe, help me with that. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.